EFTM. Tech, cars, lifestyle.
This is the EFTM podcast with Trevor Long.
EFTM.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Great to have you company on the EFTM podcast. Trevor Long here to take your calls. If you've got a tech question, get in touch. Might be a slightly shorter show this week. I am under the pump. It's been a big news day, NBN plan, stuff like that. Probably unpack that a bit with Stephen Fenwick this week, but all the details are at EFTM.com. I will talk to you about Optus 5G, though, today. I want to touch on that, so I'll get to it. But there's definitely some calls to get to, from everything from dash cams through to security cameras and streaming. So it's all happening. No dramas about that. And I was trying to – here's the thing, dear podcast listener, and I think of you as my most – loyal, my most hardcore audience member. So like, maybe I should do a Venn diagram. What do you think? It's probably more like circles, you know, onions, layers, different layers. So in the very center is the podcast audience. And then outside of that, it's maybe the EFTM reader. And then outside of that, it's the man cave member. And then outside of that, it's the EFTM app owner. Outside of that, it's two blokes listener. Outside of that, it's radio listener. Outside of that, it's TV viewer. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, you're here, you're loyal, and you've probably been here a while. Let's be honest. I've been banging away at this for a while. I churned and killed the whole audience when I killed the show and restarted it. And it'd be a different world if I just kept doing Your Tech Life all the way through to now. I think we'd probably have different audience numbers too. But I'm okay with where we are. That's okay. It's all good. But here's the thing, and I bring you into my confidence and my train of thought. Because I've had a lot of time in the car over the last month. I had to drive to Mum's twice in the last month, and that's 10 and a half, 12 hours driving back and forth, primarily on my own. And I was looking at the budget and it's coming towards – it's like we're in March. We've got to look at the end of financial year and all that kind of stuff. There was a point in time where I thought about giving away a car again, not going to lie. I even sent a text message to a car company and said, what could we do? Their response was pretty much, oh, I'll talk to marketing. I thought, no, that's not what I want. If you're not willing to, you know, you and me do a deal, I'm out. Anyway, I thought about that and I thought it's probably like return on investment – it is probably a bit stupid. So I want to be smarter and wiser. Okay. So then I got to thinking, well, what could I give away? And honestly, I don't know. So here's my question. And I've got to try and come up with a way of doing it in a way that rewards the loyalty. So you know, in part, like I want to do something that's like five prizes or something, and it's the circles, right? So podcast audience, 100% involved in every single one of the five. Man cave audience, probably in three of them. Do you know what I mean? Like try and expand it out so that, you know, a radio listener, if I was able to get any traction for it, there'd only be one prize. But what would be the prize? What would be the temptation that might get you over the line? What's the thing? So forget a car. What's the thing? What's the gadget? What's the appliance? What's the thing that might go, oh, I'm definitely going to enter that? Like especially for something that you got to enter every day or something like that. So yeah, hit me with your ideas if you have ideas. I'm open to them. I'm keen to hear them. Can't guarantee I'm going to use them or listen to them, but I like to feed the beast that is the whiteboard and see what we can make of it. So yeah, let me know what you think. I'm keen before the end of the financial year. I'm keen to do a bit of a giveaway. Let me know what you think. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Great to have your company. And if you've got a tech question, you want to brag about some piece of tech you bought, or you're curious about something, or you need help, give us a call. Go to the website, EFTM.com, click on Ask Trev, and I will get you on the show, as David did. G'day, David.
G'day, how are you, Trevor?
Yeah, real good, mate. What can I do for you?
Mate, I was just looking around. I bought a new vehicle, and the manufacturer I brought it off quoted me for a dash cam, and one, it was quite excessive in price for what's on the market, but the second thing is there's so many on the market and there's so many different opinions about it. I guess it's trying to find the right one for the application.
Is it a brand new car?
Yes, it is, mate.
So you're saying the dealer quoted to put a dash cam in?
Yes, correct. It was $1,500, but then I was looking online and there was equivalent models for half that price you could buy. But obviously, they also said if I was to install it myself, I would void my warranty on that part of the vehicle. So I was trying to find something that's wireless that could do the job without having to tap into the harness of the vehicle and also be of reputable quality.
Mate, first and foremost, I think that is absolute BS. There's no way that you're voiding the warranty by having a dash cam installed.
That was my initial thoughts too, but I didn't want to argue with them and, they can turn things around.
So here's the thing. There's three ways of approaching what you're doing. Firstly, with just the installation, then we'll talk about the product. Firstly, I've just got a new car. It's coming next week, hopefully. If the dealer said to me, do you want us to install the dash cam? I'd say, I've got one in a box here. If you can install it for me, yes. And I, frankly, they could charge me anything, I'd pay it. Because then I'd have the comfort and confidence that it's been done properly and that I could put it back on them if there's any issue with the wiring. The second option is you get the car and then you get the dash cam and you stick it up on the window and the cable just dangles down and plugs into the cigarette lighter and you're off and running. No dramas at all. There can be zero warranty issue there. And the third option is this is what I do. And I did this with the Cupra only last August, and I will do it again in 2 weeks when I get my car. I've already bought a dash cam. It's sitting in a box on my desk. I will ring the bloke that came to my house last time and charge me, I'm going to say $200, cash probably, to install it. He did an unbelievable job. It's beautifully wired. It's, taped up wiring in coming down. It's wired into the onboard diagnostics port, which allows it to get power but not draw power at the wrong time and all those kind of things. Like he did everything perfectly. I'm very happy with it. I wouldn't install it myself because I would never want the rear camera. I wouldn't want to go through the roof lining and all that kind of stuff. So I'm the kind I'm not a DIY guy, mate. I'm paying someone to do all the bathrooms and all the painting. I couldn't give a rat's, mate. I'm not going to do that. It's not my gig. So it's the same with installing something in a car. Not my gig. So I'm more inclined to pay for that. And I think it's value because I think a dash cam is a really important part of a car. So, your three options there. And by the way, installing a dash cam yourself without running the cable down the, dangling down the mirror is actually pretty easy if you're doing front only or if you're willing to run the back one over each window in the black, inside the black rubber. Really easy to do. I did a video on it on YouTube and, mate, viral. It gets heaps of views still every day. So then it comes down to which dash cam. Do you know what brand they were quoting you from the dealer?
Mate, I think it was a Uniden.
Yep. Well, mate.
Off memory, yes.
Here's the thing. At $1,500, that's what I've paid for a Blackview. Now, Blackview are, I think, probably the best video quality, best featured dash cams out there, but they are very expensive. Overall, in the market, they're expensive. The one that I bought has a SIM card slot, so I can put a SIM card in it and get alerts from the car, see the location of the car. It uploads to the cloud, like a bunch of crazy features that the average Joe doesn't need. But I'm a nerd and I want all that stuff. Right, give me everything.
Sure.
That's a $1,500 dash cam plus installation, okay? Whereas a Uniden, mate, you're talking, $500, $600 would be the premium price for a Uniden.
That's what I've seen online as well, around $500, $600. So that's what raised eyebrows as well. And then when I question them about it, saying, I think $1,500's too high, they're like, well, this covers your warranty as well. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound right. I think everyone should have the freedom to install a dash cam without having any sort of repercussion.
Yeah, 100%. Look, if my car if the battery went flat or I had some sort of electronic issue and the dealer said it's the dash cam at fault, I'd say, all right, I'm going to unplug it and we're going to see if it continues. And if it does continue when it's unplugged, I want you to fix it, etc. So obviously, you know, I would err on the side of maybe it did, and I'd question that. But honestly, mate, I don't believe that they could really argue before Fed Trading that the dash cam has an impact on your warranty. Now, the best Uniden out there right now, and I'm keen to try this out because I'm pretty sure this is the brand new one. It's called the DashView SXR. This has like a Sony sensor in it. It's 4K with a full HD rear camera. It's $499. Now, mate, that's a great price for a 4K dash cam with a rear camera. And I'm pretty sure it comes with the hardwire kit, which allows it to be wired into your fuse box. Okay. Uniden have $160 dash cams and they have this $500 dash cam. Personally, again, I'd be going the Uniden Dash View range. It's more Blackview style. It doesn't have a screen on it. What do you need a screen on a dash cam for? I don't need to look through a screen while I'm driving. So
that makes sense, yeah.
I'd be looking at that, the Dash View SR or SXR. They look like a really nice little unit with strong GPS signal and all that kind of stuff that you need. Great quality. Uniden cameras have great quality recording. Yeah, that would be the top of the pops that you'd buy. $499 DashView SXR, and then mate, an auto electrician can install it for you. And it might be $200 or $300, but you'll feel comfortable that they've installed it correctly.
Yes. No, that sounds fantastic. Just one other question too, Trevor. Can you get the wireless ones with parking mode as well? I've noticed that a lot of them had to be hardwired to have the parking mode engaged. So if someone was to hit your vehicle, it engages and turns the camera on. Because I guess that's my main concern as well, being a new car and all.
I would hardwire it for that reason. I want parking mode. I want to know what's happening when it's parked. If anything says it's got parking mode, often there's an asterisk next to it that says that it has to be hardwired.
That's what I've noticed.
You know, the ones that plug into a cigarette lighter, the 12-volt, we should say in the modern age, shouldn't we? Those ones only draw power when the car's in accessory mode or on. And when they're off, they often have a little battery, and so they will continue to record when the car is off. But the battery exhausts itself in minutes, not hours.
Yep, understood,
All right. So, mate, Uniden Dashview SXR. SXR, S for Sam, SXR. It's all at uniden.com.au. I'm pretty sure they sell them at like Repco.
I'm pretty sure
they also just sell them online too. So just shop directly from Uniden. They'll ship it straight to you and Bob's your uncle.
Perfect. Thank you, Trevor. I'm sold.
All right, mate. Good luck, David. Enjoy. What sort of car did you get, by the way?
I bought a Mazda CX-5, the GTSP 35.
Oh, wow, nice.
Beautiful car.
Yeah, great car.
Yeah,
mate.
Very nice car.
Great car. Have you had Mazdas before?
I've had a Mazda 6 probably about 5 years ago.
Great car.
I actually ordered a RAV4, but the wait time just got too extensive, so I canned it, and it was the best decision I made. Not any offence against Toyota, of course, but...
No, I'll tell you right now, that's a better car than the Toyota RAV4 every day of the week.
I believe it is. I'm glad you agree with me, Trevor.
Fit and finish. It's got a luxury feel to it, don't you reckon?
Yeah, mate, it's an absolutely beautiful car. I'm so happy I got it. It's the best car I've ever owned, hands down.
Nice one. All right, well, good luck and get yourself a dash cam to feel safe.
Will do, mate. Thank you so much,
Cheers,
Trevor.
Buddy. Anytime. No worries at all. I mean, look, it's a tough one because, I know people were listening going, I installed my own dash cam. Good on you. I can too. But I'm running it through the black rubber around the windows and stuff. I'm not like the dude that does mine. I wish I had his name on me, but weirdly, his business card is in my bedside table. I don't know why that is. Anyway, there's the two things that remind me of why I pay for his service is the wire. Like there's two wires coming down to the dash cam at the front. One is for the rear camera. One is for the power. Right. And he's wrapped them together with a felt tape. So they're wired together beautifully. So they sit and looks factory almost. And the rear camera one is all done through the through the hatch. It's done beautifully. And the other thing is when I told him it was an EV, he went to the trouble of getting the right onboard diagnostics connector and all this kind of stuff so that it was the right power connection for the device. So you find the right person and you get a good result. I think every car should have a dash cam. Fully believe that because just for peace of mind. Haven't had to go near it. Haven't had to look at the vision yet on the Cupra and hope I never do. But I know it's there when I need it. And the good thing is even my son's car, the little Mazda 2, 2010 Mazda 2, it's got a Uniden Dash View 30R in it. So front and rear recording at all times. With Uniden SD card, I can Wi-Fi connect to it and do all that stuff. And again, it's just peace of mind.
EFTM.
This is the EFTM Podcast. EFTM Podcast.
Now, I'll unpack in great detail the NBN announcement this week of vastly improving speeds. So not for the 25 or the 50 people on those plans, but if you're on the 100 plan, there's potential that in a year or so or less, you never know how it's negotiated, your speed will go to 500 overnight when this is introduced. Now, as I'll explain with Stephen, that will result, I reckon, in a price change. So that want to go up a little, but I think people will move down from the 250 to the 100, which will result in them getting 500. Anyway, so I think there'll be good movement there. But it made me think about the 4G, the 5G, and all that kind of jazz, right? Now, I've long said that I would take fixed broadband any day of the week over a 4G or 5G solution. But I'm currently testing the new Optus 5G smart modem. And like sitting here in the office, I'm getting 682 down, 33 up. Now, at one point saw a 40 or a 60 up, and I've seen 100 to 200 down. So my number one observation is the variability in speed is very different, is greater than fixed NBN. Like if I'm connected to my NBN here, which is HFC, and I'm on the 100/20 plan, I am consistently getting 95, 100, and 18 to 20, like consistently, pretty reliably, almost you can gamble on it, right? Whereas this is pretty exciting, right, to get 682, 33. And what I'm going to do, because one of the problems with our new workflow on video is it's a lot of content to upload, right? So I'm going to use the 5G Optus broadband to upload the videos this week. And I wonder whether at night, again, because of all the reasons of usage and stuff, whether the speed will be better at night and I'll get faster uploads and if that'll have an advantage for me. But I'd love your experience. If you've switched away from the NBN and onto a 4G, 5G connection, I want to know. I want to know how it happened. I want to know what happened. Because if the telco asked you to do it, what was the incentive? I'm assuming price, data, whatever it might be. If you chose to do it without an incentive, why? What did you do? If you've had it and moved away, let me know. I'm just very curious because, you know, I've said this many times, you know, the reason a Telstra would email you and say, hey, why don't you switch to our 5G home broadband? We'll give you the same amount of data, possibly more speed at $10 less price. That's because they have to pay the NBN $50 a month, broadly, for your service. So they can discount you by 10 and they're saving 50, so they're $40 better off on your account because you're on their mobile network, because the cost of running the mobile network is essentially fixed, bar for, you know, peaks and broad in backhaul, but broadly it's fixed. So the more people they can get on it, the more return on that investment they're getting. That's why they want you on 4G, 5G, not because of any issue with the NBN. Not at all. It's just better for them. So I would always ask myself, why is the telco asking me to move to 4G or 5G? And it's probably because it's in their interest. So I'd love to know, I'd love to hear from you if you've had that experience or you know anyone that has. Get in touch, EFTM.com. Just click on Ask Trev. We'll see whether we can get you on and have a chat about it, just understand what it all means and, why people are making that choice. I think a lot of people don't realise the machinations of it and the revenue side of things and the wholesale side of things. But, hey, if you're saving $20 a month and that's good for you, go for it. Absolutely not begrudging you that at all, one iota. But if I want like this speed, 682, 33, it's pretty good. And I'm pretty sure this is like $70 or $80 a month. Even under these new NBN plans, that'll become the gigabit speed. So it's they say it's going to be 750 to 1,000 down. and 50 to 100 up. I will pay
whatever they ask
for that. Because 50 to 100 up, oh, that's wild. So, yeah, I'm all in on that connection if it's available. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how long I keep this Optus modem around, how it performs. Because I haven't noticed. Put it this way, I haven't noticed using it. It's been good. Haven't noticed is a good thing. If you make a change and notice it, then you've got to question that change. But I have not noticed it. So, therefore, it could well be a good change. Interesting. We'll wait and find out.
This is the EFTM podcast. EFTM.
Trevor Long taking your calls. If you've got a tech question, go to the website, EFTM.com. Christian did that. G'day, Christian.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, real good, mate. What can I do for you?
Just seeking some advice on a streaming box for the kids' room.
What are they watching? What are the kids most into?
Nothing in particular. It's a lot of cartoons, obviously.
Any particular
Disney
apps?
Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney Plus, yeah. What about you? And YouTube, I'm tipping? Or do you not let them? How old are we talking?
They're only sort of 6 and 8.
Oh, your time will come. The joys of YouTube and, yep, that's all ahead of you, mate. So have you got a TV in there already?
Yes.
And what are
there's no antenna.
What are they, are they control it themselves or are you kind of doing it for them? What do you want? What are you looking for, something that's easy for them or for you?
Well, we've already got a Fetch Mighty we have on the main TV, which we've been using for a while. And they're pretty conversant on that.
Mate, I would get a Fetch Mini, mainly because the multi-room capabilities give you a whole bunch of other features. Like if you record a movie, like you buy a movie on the Fetch Mighty, it can then be watched on the Mini. So Fetch obviously is it's a digital ecosystem. You can rent and buy movies. So you buy a movie, you know, like my kids watch Cars movie 5,000 times. So we buy it on the Fetch and we can watch it in any of the three rooms. We've got a Fetch. Whereas with any other box like a Google Chromecast or even the new Hubble, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be a Disney Plus movie for it to be watched in every room or something like that. So, mate, if you're in the Fetch ecosystem, how do you find the Fetch? You happy with it?
Yeah, we like it.
Mate.
I just thought there's probably some other options maybe with, the Hubble.
Yep.
Well, box mate, I have literally, and then
5 hours ago, I plugged the Hubble in. And I'll tell you straight up, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But I'm not convinced that for someone that's already got Fetch, it's not a better alternative than Fetch Mini. And the number one thing I'd say to you is you can, and a lot of people don't know this, you can have so there's no antenna in the kids' room. Is that what you said?
Yes, correct.
So you can put the Fetch Mini in there and you can watch free-to-air TV over your Wi-Fi network using the antenna in the main room. It's brilliant. So
yeah, that sounds
free to air is possible in the other room. Streaming's possible. All your apps, movies, and things you bought, recordings. If you record something on the other TV, you can watch it in the kids' room. Put it this way, I'm not convinced Hubble's the game changer that they think it is. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's good, but it's no better than Fetch for someone who's already got Fetch. That's for sure.
Okay, yeah, no worries.
Maybe, you know what you should do? Try and get a great deal. Try and get a great deal. Because Hubble's out, maybe there'll be some discount deals on Fetch Mini at some time in the next little week or so.
Yeah, hopefully. They're still around 200 new. So,
yeah,
hence why I was sort of looking around different options.
Yeah, fair call. Well, look, I mean, worst case scenario, get yourself a Google Chromecast or Chromecast with Google TV. Or try the Hubble. It's $99. It works. It does everything that they say it does. It's just kind of all dropping slowly. Like there's no Stan or Paramount on it yet, and we don't know when that'll be, or Amazon. The free-to-air works kind of okay. I mean, it's good. It's not perfect though.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Good luck. I'll let you get back to work.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, buddy. Good on you. Thanks for getting in touch. Okay. I mean, look, I don't want to go off early, because I've got a lot to say about it, but the Hubble's great. The setup's great. The interface is great. It seems slick and fast and all those things. I feel like I had to do just as much to set it up as I would a Fetch or a Google Chromecast. the live TV thing, I said it just as a preview of what I'm going to say in my my first impressions. I set it to the postcode of Griffith in regional New South Wales. And in the EPG, it shows the Griffith channels, but no content. So I can only stream live the Sydney channels, which is, you know, six and one after the other. But still, I think it's a bit of a negative. So, yeah, little things that not quite there yet. You know, like I clicked on an Apple TV show and I had to launch the Apple TV app. It wouldn't even let me sign into my account. I had to go out, find the Apple TV app and then go to the settings and then sign in. Like, it wasn't seamless because Foxtel doesn't control all the apps. Unless all the apps are on board in a big way, it's not, yeah, it's not the totally integrated all-in-one solution. Like, it probably will be after day one. So once you've spent all the time in the world setting it up, it might be unbelievable to use on an ongoing basis. But it wasn't any easy to set up because of some Hubble ecosystem. Yeah, I haven't been blown away by it in that sense yet. It's very cool, works well, but let's just all calm down is what I'm saying.
EFTM. This is the EFTM podcast. EFTM podcast.
Now, I don't normally read emails out and respond to them because the whole point is talkback and I want to hear from you, but this one, they're not answering their phone and it worried me a little, so I wanted to talk about it and raise it because, man, it just shows you how something that looks to you and I, perhaps, as an obvious thing, to others may not be so. So email's from Cole, and Cole said, just watched a video of a new security camera from Camtrix. Have you heard anything about this product? Now, without any information, because I can't question Cole, I'm tipping the video was on Facebook or maybe it was a YouTube ad or something like that, because I went to Google and I searched for Camtrix and this is wild. The first result, right, the first result I clicked on, Trend Micro popped up immediately. Trend Micro antivirus has blocked these websites. Risk level, dangerous, scam. I just, it's like, wow, that is awesome. Thank you, Trend Micro, for protecting me. But please, can everyone make sure that, you know, their family and friends are getting this kind of protection from internet security? Because then, as I search more, there's many more listings for this same product, Camtrix. And it is a mini security camera, tiny little thing. And every website I look at that doesn't get marked as a scam, it just looks like a scam. It's those really crappy low-res GIFs, not videos. They're just big tick boxes that tell you the features. And like, it's just so clearly a crap website, which obviously then has bonuses to buy now and save here. And it's only $80, normally $250 and all that kind of stuff. Buy three. One of them's only $40. Three of them is $80, you know. Like, it looks like a great promo. And here's the thing. I've got no doubt it's a real working camera. But its battery will last a few hours. It will only work direct to the app. There'll be no onboard recording or cloud recording or notifications or any of that kind of stuff. And here's the thing. You know what this reminds me of? Copcam. There was a product called Copcam. I think I've still got it here in a box somewhere. And I saw it online. We never did this story on the Today Show or anywhere, but I really should have. So I bought this thing. It was like $80. It had been advertised everywhere as like a great dash cam, security camera, everything, right? And I thought that's just stupid because it wouldn't be a very good dash cam. It won't overwrite the vision and all those kind of issues. And I got it and I thought, oh, it comes with an SD card. That's pretty good. I put the SD card in my computer and there's vision of some lovely old lady trying her best to work out how to use this bloody thing. So some random lady in her kitchen, reading instructions, trying to get this thing working. And she obviously just absolutely gets the irrits with it, puts it back in the box and works out how to get a refund. Good on her. So she sends it back. And then it gets put back in stock and sent out to me. Now, the fact that that can happen blows my mind. But honestly, these little things are crap, poor quality, of no value. The thing is, if you can't afford an Arlo, a Uniden, a Swan, a Google Nest, an actual security camera from JB Hi-Fi, a big brand that's stocked in Australia with warranty and all those things that come with it. If you can't afford those, don't buy one. Now, let's look at this for a minute, okay? One Camtrix camera is $40. You can go to JB Hi-Fi and buy an Arlo Essential Indoor, I'm pretty sure, for like $129. Okay, so we're paying $90 extra dollars. I know, that's a lot. But you plug that camera into power for a start and you get notifications on your phone. You can live stream from your phone. You can two-way talk. It's good quality. You can set up a system with cloud recording and different alerts, a whole range of things. But you also have warranty, you have returns, you have Australian consumer law. You buy this Camtrix rubbish, ain't no consumer law covering you because you're buying it from some random country, you don't know where it's coming from. And frankly, I won't even guarantee that you're going to get the product. You know my story on this, where I've bought so many things online to test, like my famous Christmas tree a couple of years ago, which was a self-assembling, growing and decorating tree, which I got a tea towel in the mail. See, the e-commerce world is out of control. And again, Facebook just takes their money and lets them run all these ads. If Trend Micro knows it's a scam, how's Facebook not onto this? Just rubbish products. And, you know, there'll be someone that says, oh, no, I bought one. It's a good little thing. And you just charge it every week or every day or whatever. And it's cool, whatever. But those people haven't tried a real security camera. You know, just get a Uniden AppCam Solo, single unit, SD card slot, whatever you want. It's not going to be $39. Frankly, I prefer you went to Big W and bought like a laser brand, you know, smart home camera for like $59 that was powered and it doesn't have the ecosystem of an Arlo, but it certainly has better backing than Camtrix. I don't know what we do about these things because I'm tipping it's a generational problem. I'm tipping, you know, 20-year-olds moving to their first home or 30-year-olds who's bought their first home aren't buying a Camtrix. But we got to protect our moms, our dads, our grandparents from these kind of scams. It's bloody horrible. It really is. It frustrates me that it's still happening, but it is what it is. There's not much any of us can do about that. You are listening to the EFTM podcast with Trevor Long taking your calls. Naeem's on the line. G'day, Naeem.
Hello.
What can I do for you, mates?
I'm looking for a Wi-Fi garage opener.
Ah, right. What sort of smartphone have you got?
I got an Android phone and the rest of the family's got Apple.
So who wins the argument over where we put it in terms of ecosystems? You want one that works in both Apple and Google, I'm assuming?
That's right. Yeah. It's a never-ending argument. Nobody wins ever.
Well, you're clearly not winning because you're the only one with the Android. Everyone else has got an iPhone.
That's it.
Mate, garage door openers, there's plenty on the market if you look at Amazon. But the one that we've tested a couple of times and the one that comes from a brand that certainly has a lot of smart home products is Meros, M-E-R-O-S-S, Meros. They have a smart Wi-Fi door opener, which is Apple HomeKit compatible, as well as Alexa and Google Home. And so I'm just going to have a look here and make sure. Yeah. And so basically, I mean, I would personally switch to Apple just for the fact that when you're driving home, because your phone knows where home is, as you get close to home, the CarPlay interface changes and puts a little garage door icon on the screen so you can put the garage door up and down. It's brilliant.
All like right.
Really good. But there might – look, I might be wrong. There could be something just as good on Android. And certainly – you know, you can use Hey Google. So you're driving along, you might just summon Google on your car's, you know, voice button and open the garage door and off it goes. So you should never need to open the app is the best part about it because it should be programmed, you know, either with a smart home shortcut or with your voice and you get notifications when the thing's opened and shut so that, you know, if you're worried that someone else has got in or whatever it might be. So yeah, it's a pretty great little product that, I highly recommend. You look and it's, mate, I don't think they're very much either. I'm pretty sure they're like $100 or so.
Okay, that's not bad.
So not bad. I'll look it up while we're talking. Meros Smart Garage Door Opener on Amazon. Mate, $89.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
That's wild. Yeah. So, mate, it's easy to install. Have you looked at your garage door controller?
Not really, though.
Yeah, you want to have a look. Just Google what I did, and mine was a crappy old brand, but I just Googled the brand and the make and the model or whatever of the actual motor and look for instructions. Because even 10 years ago, there were wireless controllers you could hook up, and they basically just require you'll find on the motor there's like a little control panel, and there'll be like five or six pins. And what you do is you hook the garage door opener up to two or three of the pins. You just need to know which pins. And one of them, you know, basically all the controller is doing is closing a circuit. It's just going click and closing a circuit, and that triggers the door to either open or shut, and one or the other happens and you're done. So, but make sure you buy the HomeKit one. So there's one that's $66. That's just Google and Alexa, an app. And then there's one that's HomeKit compatible as well. Get that one so that your family who have iPhones can get the advantage of HomeKit while you get the advantage of Google Home.
Okay, perfect. Lovely. Excellent. Right, thanks so much for helping.
No worries. Thank you for getting in touch. Right. Thank you, Naeem.
Have a good day.
Cheers, mate. You too. Naeem heard me on the radio talking about that. And, it was a reminder because I'm so excited to redo our garage doors. It's one of the things I'm doing in the I wouldn't call it a renovation. I mean, the bathrooms have been renovated, but the rest is just a spruce up. But our garage doors are really old and ugly and need paint and stuff. So when we do the roof, I'm going to put new garage doors on and they'll have new motors. They'll work really well. And I'm going to put these exact controllers on. And I don't, you know, my wife plays down her use of technology, but I'm telling you, she uses CarPlay. And when she realizes that, you know, if she's got the shopping or whatever in the car and she wants to go through the garage, because we don't park in the garage, that you can just tap a button on the screen and it opens. Whew, so good. Really cool that you can get a HomeKit, Apple HomeKit compatible door opener like that. And Meros. I use Meros smart switches a lot. I have them in the office here. So all of my Alexa, turn on ceiling lights because it's a bit dark in here right now. Oh, there we go. All the lights are on. They're all Meros. Done deal. The podcast studio. So Alexa, turn on studio lights. And then where Stephen and I sit just gets lit up. Although I have this thing where every now and then they just like to, one of them doesn't want to work and it's like I've got to reset it or something. Anyway, we'll get to that. I love putting those smart things in because it just makes it all a bit cooler and easy to use. Thank you for listening. Lovely to have your company. A shortened edition of the EFTM podcast, but thank you for listening. Great to have your company every week. We'll do it again next week, no doubt. I'm grounded. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to relax here for a while. I feel like we're going to have an epic middle of the year with rumors of a Samsung event in July, early July, maybe in Paris. My God. We've got Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. There's Computex in Taiwan. There's a lot potentially going on in June or July, which may absolutely destroy my head. So let's just relax a little bit here and get some work done, some planning done. And yeah, I'd love your feedback and thoughts on you can be my promotions department, okay, folks? Let me know what we should do as a giveaway. If you've got ideas of what we give away, now it's not an unlimited budget, so don't be stupid, okay? Just things that would be appealing. And also how, ways to give something away. And I do want the app to be a feature of that. It's still, to me, a core point of difference for me and other people, me and other businesses, that I have the app. So if I have to encourage people to turn on notifications and send a special code via notifications, that's what I'll do. You got to be rewarded for your use of the product. So anyway, think out loud. And you can be part of my promotions team. If you do come up with the winning idea, an idea that I use, you never know, I might send you some merch or something like that. Speaking of which, we're doing the Grid Rivals F1 competition again. And every round I'm going to give away some merch. We had a winner this week at the Bahrain Grand Prix. And at the end of the year, $500 for the best team tipster. It's not really tipping. It's more not gambling. It's more playing with contracts and the value of people. Buy them cheap, sell them expensive, etc. $500 to the best tipster, $300 to the second best, $200 to the third best, and a merch pack every single week. Look forward to having you on that as well. Just go to EFTM Man Cave on Facebook. You'll see the Grid Rival link there. Talk to you next week, folks.